You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pickleball is here, Slee.
Yes.
We're playing tomorrow. Agape Pickleball Center in Fountain Valley, Miles Square Park. The team Thick Van Exel will be taking on the El Diablos in a 1-16 matchup.
Oh, if we win, you're going to hear easy money like no tomorrow. If we lose, I'll say nothing. I'll shake hands.
So take the seeding that they put together on this off.
Yeah.
What do you think we actually are? Are we a 13? Like, not impossible to win, but unlikely.
Here's our problem.
Are we a 12? Are we a 10?
Here's the issue. You and I know nothing about this sport. We've played it a couple times. I have no idea of what's going to show up tomorrow, who's showing up tomorrow. I'm just going to assume if you're signing up for a pickleball tournament with ESPN LA and you don't work at this company, you're a baller. I'm just going to assume that right out the gate. But if you're putting all the other teams in it as well, I think we're a 10 seed.
Okay. I'll take that, by the way.
Yeah.
10 doesn't sound so bad.
10. So that means anytime we're playing, we're an underdog, but we're a 10 seed, and we're going to take on a 7, you know, something along those lines.
I'll take 10. I was thinking we might be like a 14 or a 15.
No, I don't think we will be.
And we might be.
It balances out because we have the rest of the station playing too.
True, true. But yeah, you're looking at it differently than I am.
Your knee injury is...
No, it's not even that. It's you're looking at it, how are we stacking up against the other 7-10 teams? I don't care about that. Everybody here sucks, right? So I don't want to be the best of the crappy teams.
But that's the only way our seed is not that bad.
I get it, but I we're going to lose in the first one. I'm just saying. It's going to be... I think easy money may have been actually a little generous. I think it could have been a little more pointed in
hypothetically,
his criticism along
hypothetically,
the way.
If we do win in the first round...
Yeah.
Get on my shoulders.
Good luck.
And I'm going to take us through all that. We're going to go through every pickleball court to let people know that we won. I'm going to yell easy money to every court out there.
I like it. I like it. All right.
By the way, Xavier did end up getting the win.
Oh, Deshaun Miller.
Over the Saws?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I thought you said something anyway.
No. The Saws are out. They will not be Cinderella this year. The Gauchos trail Baylor by
still in it. Eight. Down by eight.
Down by eight.
Ten minutes to go.
So got to make up 8 points or 9 points, I guess, in the next 10 minutes or so. LeBron James has been out for a while. He has a tendon injury in his foot, and we've been hoping that he would be back maybe right at the end of the season,
April 2nd-ish,
play in time.
Five games left.
First round of the tournament or the first round of the playoffs. If the Lakers can actually get into a situation like that, here's an update from Brian Windhorst.
LeBron is not close to returning, from what I am told. I know that everybody said the 3 weeks, but I think it was very clear 3 weeks is when he's going to get an official reevaluation.
Right.
It didn't mean he was coming back in 3 weeks. I know that LeBron has played through injuries in the past. I'm not 100% sure if this is an injury you can play through.
What do you think?
I've said this from the beginning, and if there's one thing that I value most, LeBron's accomplished so many things in his career. So many different things he's accomplished in his career. But one of the things that has made LeBron James so great, he's been in the league for 20 years. He's played three additional seasons of playoff games.
Yep.
Do you know how many times you have to go through injury, bumps and bruises and everything else to just have that many games under your belt? I think we all knew the moment that he got injured in such a critical stage of the season where it looked like the roster actually looked pretty good. He's probably so excited after the Lakers beat the Dallas Mavericks. They come back from 26-27 down, whatever it is. Man, we finally got a squad and we're ready for this final push.
Was that the last game he played?
It's the last game he played. That's where he got that injury. I think listening to Brian Windhorst right there, I don't think it's complete surprise or shock, but when they throw at you, he's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks. Trav, you just naturally start doing the math. Okay, 3 weeks. All right, he's not going to come back at 3 weeks, but can he come back in 4.5 weeks? And that means there's still another week left in the season, all that. we're probably going to get more and more clarity. What was it last? It was earlier this week. He was shooting free throws.
Yeah.
That was in New Orleans. He was shooting some free throws. He was off the walking boot on Sunday against the Knicks. All those little things give you some hope and some optimism. But just because he's shooting free throws, not moving, and just because he's not on a walking boot, it doesn't mean he's ready to go
play in the NBA
up against Kyrie and Luka and Giannis and everybody else. I think they got to be prepared. If they're going to do anything, you got to be prepared without Bron.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the reality. And if you end up getting Bron at any point, I don't want to call it icing on the cake, but I think you'd be more surprised if he does come back at some point.
Well, it just kind of changes the expectations game that with LeBron, with the Lakers, here's the roadmap if you are the most optimistic Laker person in the world. It's they're much better than they were.
Yeah.
They're going to get better because the pieces are going to get more familiar with one another.
Yeah, yeah.
Anthony Davis is playing and playing well.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron James is going to be back. When? Not quite sure, but will be back. That maybe it's towards the end of the season. Maybe it's play-in.
But you're going to see
him. But you're going to see him, mm-hmm. and it's LeBron James. I don't care what basketball team it is. You add LeBron James to the team. Hey, look out. LeBron James and AD scare the you-know-what out of everybody.
He's got shooters around him, all that. Yep.
Just his presence alone changes everything. Now it is Anthony Davis is the guy that's got to carry the water, and good luck with that. It's just that they're, are they bad? No. But Anthony Davis as the best player in a playoff series, good luck with that, right? He won once.
Can I take it a step further? I think that's any roster that has two superstars, you take one of them off, it's a completely different ballgame.
It's a different ballgame, but Anthony Davis is different than if Steph Curry were by himself, you're like, all right, it's not great, but they got a chance. If it's Jokic by himself, okay. Giannis by himself. Like, they're not what they are if Middleton is gone or if you know Draymond or who take your pick of whoever it is. But at least it's like, okay, I mean, we'll take our shot. If you lose Harden, it's not great, but you still got Embiid. This is not quite that.
Let's put it this way. Let's say Lakers end up in the play-in tournament, right? And LeBron is not there. The chances of Lakers losing and not coming out of the play-in tournament without LeBron, okay, of course, it's very likely. That could happen. That could easily happen. If Bron was there, now the question is, all right, now you got a first-round matchup. Let's say the Lakers got out of the play-in tournament without LeBron James. The only chance you have of going up against a Denver Nuggets in a seven-game set or a Sacramento Kings, I'll use them as an example, seven-game set, you need your squad, right? You need your full team. That's the difference of Bron being there and not being there. They've played good basketball without LeBron James, but it's sustainable to a point once you start playing a playoff team every single night.
Yeah, I without LeBron, it's a real big hole in the side of the boat. It's you might get in, but the opportunity to, hey, let's see what happens. I know what's going to happen without him. It's a drag because you know with LeBron James, you know he's doing everything he can to try to get back on that court.
Of course,
that you know that he's going to be a guy that if there's a way, he's going to try to make it happen. And without him, it's just not that. It sucks. It really sucks because in the back of your head, I said it a couple of days ago. I thought that with those two guys, it's like, okay, let's see. I'm not that they're going to win the West, but let's see what happens.
It's an interesting conversation. Can you play it again? I want to hear it one more time. Windhorse.
LeBron is not close to returning from what I am told. I know that everybody said the 3 weeks, but I think it was very clear. 3 weeks is when he's going to get an official reevaluation.
Right.
It didn't mean he was coming back in 3 weeks. I know that LeBron has played through injuries in the past. I'm not 100% sure if this is an injury you can play through.
12 games left. The play-in tournament would be probably April 11th, which would be a Tuesday. So you're basically saying that if he's nowhere close to coming back, the runway you have is about 3.5 weeks. Got about 3.5 week runway.
That's not a long runway.
For the play-in tournament.
When you hear the phrase, not close.
I know.
Right? If it's like, it's going to be, you know, hit or miss, but not too much. Taylor, do you know what happened yesterday? Or maybe it was the day before?
The Kings won?
Well, yes. Do you know what that win did?
It gave them their first winning season.
That's
since
right.
2006.
Yep. It guaranteed them their first winning season since 2006. They won their 42nd game of the year. They could lose every game from here on out. They'd be 42-40. They're going to have a winning season.
Light the beam.
Light the beam for sure. Leave it on. Like don't even turn it off until you go under 500 at some point again. It's a pretty remarkable deal. We talk about the Nuggets. We talk about the Suns. Even Golden State, even though doesn't feel like they got it anymore either. We just keep blowing by those guys. They're 15 games over 500. They're the second seed in the West.
Yeah.
You turn on SportsCenter. You turn on a podcast. Hey, there's somebody making a case for the Clippers. There's somebody making a case for the Suns and the Nuggets and even the Grizzlies. There's even people that make cases for the Lakers. No one makes cases for the Kings.
Sacramento Kings.
And I like they're it. I like 15 it games over 500 in the number two seed. Nothing super weird has to happen for them to win a round or two.
Do you know what else happened a couple days ago? You said the 42, right? Now, so they're over 500. When they got to 40 wins, Mike Brown became the second head coach in Kings history to have 40-plus wins.
Adelman.
Adelman's the only other one. That was kind of crazy. I get what you're saying, but doesn't that disrespect kind of come in any sport with any team even the Denver Nuggets get disrespected because they haven't made the finals. They've been in the playoffs. They have somebody that's going to be potentially a three-time MVP.
Disrespect is nowhere in the same universe as what's going on with the Kings right now.
Yeah, but the Nuggets' disrespect is they're the number one seed in the NBA. They have the MVP. And no one's really picking for them to come out of the West.
Oh, that's not true. That's just
there aren't a lot of people picking.
They're not
a popular pick.
Maybe not a popular pick, but a lot of people think that the Nuggets are going to win the West.
No, I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of doing the pregame show. Every time I bring up and I ask somebody, hey, pick a team out of the Western Conference. It's just like a generalized Western Conference.
I'm not saying they're the consensus, but to say that no one's picking them is not true. They're the number one seed.
They're the number one seed, but they're also getting a lot of disrespect as well.
Not like Sacramento. Sacramento is on. It's weird. You almost forget that they are where they are. I know you don't, Taylor, because you're a Kings fan.
It's surreal.
Is that what it is? Is it just the unbelievable fact that like there's just no that can't be real? Are we waiting for the other shoe to drop, even though we know it's not?
I'm holding my breath because of all the pain in the past.
Honestly. But he said something. Remember maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, we were having this conversation about the Kings, and you said you're just happy for them to get in the playoffs. In my head, I'm like, if I'm a Kings fan, you got to win a round. Like to say it's a successful season, you should.
Yeah, I want Western Conference Finals.
Is that where the goal has changed to?
It has.
When if they won one round and you got like a real building block that you're going off of, they're on the right side of this bracket.
That's what I'm saying.
They could avoid the Phoenix Suns, the Los Angeles Clippers, the Denver Nuggets. They could avoid all these teams. You could potentially, just hypothetically, in the first round, you could have Dallas in the first round. You could have Minnesota in the first round. You could have the Thunder in the first round, maybe the Lakers in the first round without LeBron.
Right.
That's the right side to be on. Denver might have to go, as an example, Phoenix or the Clippers in round two. Well, so they could actually have to go Warriors.
Theoretically, if it goes chalk, they'd get the fourth seed team, right? If they're the two and it goes chalk, they'd get the four.
No, they'd get
the three.
Three.
They'd get the threes. Who's is it?
Memphis.
Jaw's back. That's a tough putt.
It might be a tough putt, but that's a good. I'd much rather have Memphis inexperienced in the playoffs than the Phoenix Suns, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or one
oh,
of these other squads that are there.
And maybe you start to negotiate a little bit, right, with yourself. I'm like, hey, do we want to be? Where exactly do we want to be based on what we are? You want to be the seven?
Well, you're talking about the Lakers, or you're talking about different?
No. I'm talking about the Kings. I'm talking about them trying to find the path. They're where they want to be. Memphis, there's only a half game behind, right?
Half game behind. They've been okay without Ja. Ja will come back, and then it will be a real fight for 2 and 3.
Let's try a phone call here. Let's go to Huntington Beach. And Jacob. Jacob, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
So I have a bet for Taylor.
Go for it.
All right, so I am taking my girlfriend to her first NBA game on Easter Sunday.
Okay.
And I will make a bet with Taylor that if the Lakers lose to the Kings, I will drink water for from my shoe.
Okay. But what does Taylor have to do in this bet? It has to be kind of two-sided, right? So you have to agree to water the shoe too?
What does Taylor want from me?
Taylor, anything that you would like to ask for?
If the Lakers beat the Kings, that's what I'm hearing this right?
So if the Lakers beat the Kings,
if the Kings beat the Lakers.
I don't think they have.
They don't play each other.
Yeah, they don't have another game left.
There's no games, man.
You sure it's not the Clippers?
No.
Are you drinking beer out of your shoe this morning?
It is St. Patrick's Day. Maybe it's a green shoe.
Yeah, they don't have the Kings left this year. They've already played them.
Yeah.
Already played the four.
Are you sure? Who are they playing Easter?
You're the one that bought the tickets, Jacob. Why are you asking us?
I hope she's not a Kings fan.
It might be a Clippers.
Yeah, well, it's got to be, right? Yeah. If you're going to a game here in town and the Kings are playing.
Or it's Kings and Blackhawks.
Arcadia High. Yeah, you're right. Maybe you bought L.A. Kings tickets. You're right. Yeah, what do you think about that big trade for Jonathan Quick that they sent him out? What do you make of that?
Yeah, Lakers got the Jazz on Easter.
Yeah, I don't know what game he's going to, but I hope he has a nice time. And
Taylor Taylor accepts the bet that he has no idea what it is.
I'm not a big drink something or lick the. What was it? Ireland licked his shoe after walking
New
down
Orleans,
Bourbon Street. Have you been to Bourbon Street? Al?
I have.
Ugh. Oh my gosh!
Unbelievable. John has said plenty of times he'll do anything. I think $100.
The number for me is much higher than $100.
I've done my research. The Clippers do not play the Sacramento Kings on Easter.
Jacob,
the Lakers do not play them, and the LA Kings do not play
on Easter. Okay, Jacob, I need you to call back and let us know what you bought. Like, I need you to go into your phone and figure out exactly what you purchased.
I think he's still here.
I didn't purchase anything. My girlfriend did it.
Okay, we'll find out what she purchased. Call her and find out what she bought, because she did not buy Lakers Kings, Clippers Kings, or LA Kings.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Maybe it's like next season, preseason down in Anaheim. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this whole thing out for you. Michael Jordan may sell the Hornets. I got a question for you on the legacy of Air Jordan, Slay. That's nice.
He might have took your Walmart. He's the guy that purchased at Walmart.
We got that taken care of. It's all good. Wells stepped up nicely, took care of that one for us. It's coming up next. It's Travis Slay, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I'm sorry, Travis. It's not looking amazing.
No, it's
but,
not.
But, you know, you said successful season games, the tournament. That's all we
no
care
doubt.
About. So I have a question for me and you, and I guess Taylor's involved in this, but me and you. So, you know, something's going to happen to the teams. We're I'm out. You might be soon. Do we root for San Diego State? Or do we root against San Diego State? Do we want to see?
I know his answer.
Alan,
I know
excited.
Your answer.
Yeah, okay. my answer is I'd like to see him do well, because I think Kelly would have hell of a time if the Aztecs went on a little bit of a run and she got to experience the excitement on campus of having her team make a run.
It's really
I think she'd really, really like that.
It bonds you to your school in a big way.
Oh, for sure. I will definitely root for them, because I'd like her to have that
you're
experience.
You're in. I don't think you're in.
No, Fairman's going all the way. Fairman's winning the national championship, and I think they're going to take down San Diego State. They're going to take down Alabama.
You picked the right school right out the gate.
Let's go Aztecs.
You went with SDSU.
I love that hat. It has so much school spirit.
Yeah. On campus, I bought it, by the way.
Home Depot?
On campus.
I love it.
At the, what's it called?
Is that a San Diego State hat? Because I can't read it's got a leather patch on the front of a gray field.
Yep. I have the red and black ones, but you know, this is kind of just a casual
one. I do think that we just saw.
I had no idea that that was even a San Diego status until you said that.
A sneak fan.
Yeah.
I think we just saw the flying TTs come through.
Did they come through?
We had Mace come through, and his brother, I believe, came through. So,
curious how their training went yesterday.
Oh, yeah, they practiced yesterday.
Oh, no, couldn't have been. Did they do it after he got back from
Yachts? Unless, fighting TTs.
Oh, you know what? No, Wednesday night.
Flying TTs?
No, I said flying TTs. Oh. I meant to say fighting TTs, but I also want to imagine them being the flying TTs. It would be great, too.
Wednesday night, I think he said his brother was flying in. So they probably practice on Wednesday night.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I think we were here doing Supercross. Like
they couldn't
he's
have
in.
Done it. Well, I guess they could have, but Mace drive all the way back, get all that whipped cream cleaned out of his ears and his nose.
And then go straight to the courts.
Try to go play pickleball. Probably tasting Cool Whip in his mouth for the next several days. He got absolutely destroyed by
that
thing.
Well, and Greg, I mean, I don't see the video of the windup. We just saw the aftermath. We just saw what it looked like afterwards.
I saw the windup with my own two eyes, and it was aggressive. Mm. It was not a gentle pat on the side of the head.
Yeah.
It was a full windup and a smack along the way.
Have you guys ever had to get, pie in the face, dessert in the face, anything like that? Or, have you guys ever been in the dunk tank either?
I have participated as the thrower, never as the dunk E.
Okay, so when I worked at a summer camp,
dunk tank for me. Yeah.
As a camp counselor, we did this one day where it's beach games day or whatever, and your kids can do a bunch of stuff for you. Like they earn tickets and they do stuff. So I had kids. I had to do a shift inside the dunk tank, and the worst part of it is the anticipation because you're someone's gonna hit it sometime, and then you get dropped and you get actually hurt your knee, and then also I had
more
my
water
kids,
in that tub.
I know one of the kids. smashed me in the face and gave me a bloody nose.
With the ball?
No, with the pie in the face.
Oh, jeez.
Because it was just whipped cream. And so they're like, ha, 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 let's
do it. So the pan smacked you.
Yeah, so their pan and their hand have enough force. They didn't know how much, and then it smacked me in the face. So that's always not fun.
Minute to go in the Baylor-Santa Barbara game. Baylor up 20 on the Gauchos. So the odds of a 20-point turnaround in 54 seconds is not very good. But like you said, for a Santa Barbara, Big West team, getting to the tournament is a successful season. Didn't get a chance to shock the world, but good effort, fellas. Very proud of my guys. And here
we go. Best money on a crying cheerleader?
No, because no.
And it's not close enough. You needed it to be if it was a 2-point game, something like that. UCSB, the chances of every student up there, once this game ends in 45 seconds, you can be like, yeah, let's go get a drink.
I think I've told you this story. So when the Gauchos went to the College World Series in Omaha in 2016, there's one of the bars. I wish I could remember the name of it. I don't remember the name of it, but it's right behind the ballpark. It's a 3-minute walk from the ballpark. And they put all 8 teams from the tournament. They each get a chalkboard inside this bar, okay? And there's a certain type of shot that you order that if you order it, one goes up on your team's tally, okay? And I forget, Miami was there, Florida was there, TCU was there, Arizona was there, Coastal Carolina was there.
West Virginia?
No, I don't think it was West Virginia. And the Gauchos, I'm forgetting one of the
teams. Saying, was it Virginia, not West Virginia?
Maybe. I don't think so, but maybe. Everybody's chalkboard had, 50 or 60 tallies. The Gauchos had a second chalkboard below the first chalkboard because we had filled it up. There was no more room to add tallies to the Gaucho chalkboard.
It's dedication.
And so we're talking to the bartender who'd been there for a long time, and because all us Gauchos made our way over to this place. He goes, been doing this a long time. He goes, I've never seen people like you before. people come in and have a good time, and there are other places that get after it because I've never seen people like you before do this. You guys are competing in this like it matters.
There's a pride. There's a pride.
It was something that we got done.
Looks like the duo. Looks like the duo right there.
There it is.
The fighting TTs.
Looks like he's in pretty good shape. It looks like he's going to be able to play a little pickleball. He's a big guy.
Yeah, he is. He looked at me right out the gate. He's like, is that how we're playing first round? I'm like, relax, man.
Gave you the stink eye?
Relax.
Money.
Absolutely. So Jordan is going to sell his piece of the Hornets report.
Majority stake, yeah.
Yeah. He's been selling off some of it. He bought the team a few years ago, more than a few years ago, for 270 some odd million. I think it was 285. Which think about it now, get an NBA team for 285 or controlling interest and an NBA team for 285 It's unbelievably low. So he's going to make a fortune. This was an incredibly lucrative proposition.
2010 is when he got that majority stake.
Yeah.
275.
So he'll get over a billion for his piece of this, right? Almost for sure. So take the business part out of it. Michael Jordan has been an incredibly successful businessman. He's the greatest player of all time, or he's a very good choice for greatest player of all time.
The Jordan logo.
The Jordan logo might be the most iconic logo in sports history, if it's not Nike, right? The swoosh itself, Jordan's either one or two, right? He's universally beloved as one of the great sporting icons of his era, if not ever.
Yeah.
Why was he so bad at this? Like, the Hornets have been bad pretty much the entire time.
Hmm.
Not only are they bad, they're the most anonymous franchise in the league, probably. They're the team that gets the least amount of attention. They really have not had, short of LaMelo having a moment where he got going, but he got hurt again. Like, they don't have the guy. At least they got this guy. Hmm. Why has it been such a bad run for him? Because everything else he has touched has turned to gold, and the Hornets just stink.
I don't know if I have the best comparison, but if I said, look at the best owners in sports or look at the best CEOs in sports, I think if there's a trait a lot of these guys have, they typically hire the best at what that person does, and they take a little bit of a step back. That doesn't mean that they're not involved. It doesn't mean, does Michael Jordan know the game of basketball? Of course he does. But Michael Jordan was arguably the greatest player to ever do it. And Michael Jordan depended a lot on himself when he was in these big-time games. Michael Jordan had the most confidence in him.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes you think, well, because that was the trait that I had, I'm going to find somebody else that matches that. That's not always the case. I thought what made Dr. Jerry Buss the greatest owner in professional sports, I'm going to have Jerry West run my front office. I'm going to go get the best at that. Jerry West lost.
But Jerry West was also that great player too, right?
But let me just use as an example. When I say Jerry West, I think one of the first things you think of with him, he is the logo, and he is a fantastic player. How many times did they lose in the finals? Was he like lost nine times or something like that? So you're never going to consider him the greatest ever. But where Jerry West was probably better than he was on the floor was in a front office. He was an executive that was, I can assemble a team. I could figure out how to put this thing together. It is very random that he did not have any success. Because you don't, like what you just described, nobody's saying go be the greatest owner in professional sports.
You don't have to be Jerry West and be as good of an executive as you were a player.
But you were never competitive.
No. They were
draft
bad.
Busts after draft busts, right? It's
weird. And I get it. There's a different skill set. There's a different mentality that
comes
along with it.
Think he got too involved?
I don't know. Well, and that's the other thing. Like his involvement, the level of involvement in his ownership was mysterious. Like was he super involved? Maybe. Was he completely uninvolved? Maybe. Like you never really knew how many of his fingerprints were on this, which that in and of itself is surprising. I know he's a private guy, but he's Michael Jordan. Is he running the team or not?
Sure.
And that they were never good, and the greatest player of all time is owning the team. It's just bizarre.
Okay, this has nothing to kind of do with the conversation, but I'm just curious on this. I'm a little surprised he's selling now.
How come?
There's going to be some real bidding for the NBA rights, and that's going to come in the next couple of years. And the bidding that's been there, it's basically been TNT and it's been ESPN. It's going to be some new blood that's going to come into
NBC
that.
NBC reportedly kicking the tires.
And I think one of these streaming services are I don't know if it was Apple or Amazon, one of them had some interest. So right out the gate, you're going to have some real competition for the media rights. That's number one, that the timing of it is interesting to do it now and not wait a couple years for that media rights deal to kick in. Number two, they will have the fourth best odds for Victor Wembanyama.
Okay.
Just according to percentages. I think the worst three teams in the NBA,
14%.
14, 14, 14, and I want to say 12.5 is after.
So it's pretty
close.
That's
nothing,
yeah.
Right? That's nothing. I remember John saying that somebody had told him that the value of your team, if you get Victor Wembanyama, will go up half a bill right out the gate just because of what this guy is going to be able to bring in. That's the only reason why. I know that's not the conversation, but the timing of it is a little interesting.
I trust him to make the business
decision.
You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying, you're right, but like when it comes to
these guys know what they're
business
doing.
Business decision of all of this, like Michael Jordan to play basketball, first pick. Michael Jordan to design a basketball shoe or market a basketball shoe, first pick. To make a business decision, first pick. To run a basketball team, not a pick.
Can I say
it's so weird?
Can I say this? I think what gets lost in all of it, you know, he's the first former athlete to be a majority stake owner
in the NBA.
In the NBA.
Yeah.
That in itself should be recognized. I'm not telling you that he was a successful owner, but the fact that he was able to become an owner, that should be recognized.
Not surprised that somebody knew the answer to this. LSU Lala says the name of that bar, Trav, in Omaha is Rocco's. So Rocco's is the spot that has the chalkboards. And an LSU fan knowing that is not a surprise because LSU is in the College World Series.
Every year.
Just about every single year. So I'm sure LSU Lala has probably marked the chalkboard at Rocco's a few times along the way. More bad news for the Dodgers. Get in line. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Slee is going to have a lot of hard work on his hands tomorrow morning. Right by this time tomorrow, 12:30 on Saturday afternoon, Team Thick Van Exel is very unlikely to still be in the competitive
toilets
of the pickleball tournament. You ready for the amount of work you're going to have to do tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Because
I don't know if it's going to be successful,
we'll
but
see.
I'm ready for the amount of work.
We'll see. You're going to have to make sure you properly warm up because I will be very stationary. I will be anchored to the kitchen, which is not the
first time
that's been said.
I'd rather have you near the net, and I'll take kind of a step back.
Yeah. You're going to have to do a lot of running.
That's okay. I'm okay with all of that. I have no idea what the competition looks like. How did we not get a scouting report and some video on who we're playing?
El Diablos?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like we have everything else, but we don't have that.
What if they just come in? They're just ringers. Demolish.
What do you mean, what if?
That means we lose 11-1.
Al, I don't know what your expectations are, but that is a very, very realistic possibility.
No, not 11-1.
Why not?
What if we don't even get a chance to serve?
What if they are really good and I can't play at all? Maybe not 11-1. It could be 11-2 or 3. Back-to-back games. 22-5.
Got to get to 5. Can we just be respectable?
Is Chris going to be on the PA again like last time where he'll be projected to everybody?
It's going to be different because you got all the – I think there's
– Are there multiple games 12? Going at once?
I think 12 courts. Something they have to have multiple games just so you have so many teams.
You'd be there for 2 weeks.
We'll be there for as long as the March Madness tournament's going on.
Yeah.
When's the championship game? That's all I'm going to be there. Got 12 courts, I think, that are going
on. Yeah, it's good luck, man. I hope you do well. I hope that you show up and are ready to go because you're going to be playing 2-on-1. Let's try Lancaster and David. David, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up, David?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday.
there's an aspect of the whole Michael Jordan thing, why he's selling, and just wanted to bring to light. You know, he's real big with the 23 racing, you know, with
Bubba Wallace.
Danny Hamlin, Bubba Wallace. And he just saw his good buddy, Brad Doherty, just win the Daytona 500, one car, single car owner. And I think he wants to get more focus into that whole racing, help out Bubba Wallace and so forth. He's real big. You'd be surprised. I'm a big NASCAR fan. And he's out the track a lot.
He has an interest in NASCAR. That doesn't surprise me at all. That a lot of, like you mentioned, Brad Doherty does this. But Michael Jordan doesn't strike me as somebody that has to sell one thing to get into another thing. Mm-hmm. If he wanted to be a NASCAR, he could be a NASCAR, right? That's just all he would have to do is say, guys, I'd like to be more involved with this and buy a bigger piece of this. And guys would be lining up to do those things. Like he's not you know, I can't go to the movies on Saturday because I want to go to the movies on Sunday. He does not have to pick. He can have both if he wants, I would imagine.
Wasn't it Magic Short sold his stake in the Lakers, right, to be a part of the Dodgers?
Mm-hmm. They used to have weird rules where you couldn't own multiple
sports.
Not
anymore, right?
No, it's long gone. Yeah. That's a long gone. So I mean, maybe, who knows? But it just, I'm not that he's selling it that's surprising to me. It's that it never really worked. You thought that he'd be a draw. Yeah. You thought that he'd have an eye for some of these things.
And you would have thought a lot of players would say, well, I could play for the team Michael
that's
Jordan
what I'm saying,
owns.
The draw. The draw, yeah. I'm not talking draw at the gate. I'm saying a draw for players.
Well, then yeah. Free agency, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go learn from Michael Jordan. It never really happened. Dodgers made an announcement today. Dave Roberts said that Tony Gonsolin is not going to be a part of the Dodger opening day roster. Remember, a week or two ago, he twisted his ankle during PFP drills. It is not progressing the way that they would have hoped. And keep in mind, opening day is still a couple of weeks away, so this is probably not nothing. If they know 2 weeks out
that it's
not
going to
be ready, and you know, I guess the best case scenario, Slee, would be they haven't had a chance to stretch him out enough to put him on the roster so he's ready to pitch, that his ankle is fine, but his arm's not ready. Maybe that's a more optimistic way of looking at it, but added to the list of Gavin Lux and Freddie Freeman and free agent departures
Walker Buehler
and the struggles of Chris Taylor this spring and Jason Hayward, to just one more thing that the Dodgers have to try to overcome before the season's even started.
So this is a very unfamiliar spot, I think, for a lot of Dodger fans right now. Usually when you're in March and you're getting ready for the Dodger season, a lot of the conversation is, okay, go look at the World Series contenders. Are the Dodgers the biggest favorite? Are they second? Are they third? This stage of the season, you're typically looking at, okay, are the Dodgers, can they get to 100 wins? How many wins north of 100 can they get to? The dialogue and the conversation about the Dodgers coming into this year is a lot different than they've had over these past few years. And listen, I know it's not ideal. I think every Dodger fan, I think they've just grown accustomed to a really, really good front office, unbelievable players, 58 all-stars. But I think at the same time, I think it adds a tremendous amount of interesting storylines that we really haven't had around the Dodgers. Not ideal, but they're still going to be a competitive team. The question is just going to be, before even first pitch comes, who's playing to start off?
Yeah, I realize I'm a spoiled Dodger fan. I realize that what the Dodgers have done over the last 5-10 years is extremely atypical. To have a roster that has multiple MVPs, literally a dozen All-Stars, that has they had 4 Cy Young Award winners in their pitching staff at one point. That's not how it goes, and no one's going to feel sorry for the Dodgers doing what they're doing. But what allows me to see what's happening right now and not be like the sky is falling is that Andrew Friedman in the Dodger front office and the Dodger organization, kind of from the very top at Friedman right on down to the lowest levels of their minor league system, they find guys. They find guys in their own development. They find guys in other teams' organizations that maybe are not thriving, that they're not using that guy right. If we got our hands on him, we can use him. And they got a checkbook. If they need to go buy a guy, they will. I can hand to, you know, the sky. If the Dodgers get into May and shortstop's a big problem, they're going to go get one. Mm-hmm. They're not just going to go out. Oh, okay, Miguel Rojas is batting 160. I guess this is what we're stuck with. Hey, Chris Taylor, you know, can't get a hit. I guess this is what we're stuck. They're going to go get one. They're going to go get one from someone else. They don't just sit around. They're not here to, look, we've had 10 years, we're going to catch our breath, and we'll start again. No. They're going to go for it. They've been incredibly aggressive when it's time to be aggressive, and I think that'll continue.
How much of this could just be a reset's not the right word, because a reset means you're going to go win 65, 70 games, and you're not in it, you're not in competition. How much of this is, let's just see what we have to start out the year. Yes, we lost out on some players. Yes, there were a lot of players that moved, but we didn't want to spend 200 and change or whatever it is on those players specifically. How much of this is a reset in Major League Baseball is a very loose word. Mm-hmm. But I think for the Dodgers, for what you're accustomed to seeing with the Dodgers, how much of this is a reset for just the Los Angeles Dodgers, in the sense that you're not walking in as the favorite, but you're also, can we just see how the season starts out? Can we see what it looks like a month, 60 days, something along those lines?
I think there may be something to that. I think by their standards, yes, this could be a, hey, let's take a deep breath.
Yeah, reset for the Rockies is different than
Let's see what we have. Let's just let this play out for 40 games, 50 games, 60 games. Let's see where we are. But I don't think it's a, okay, we're just going to let this thing play. I don't think it'll be that.
I
think right now with the pricing, both the free agent market, it was too high for them. Not that they can't afford it in that's bad value. I'm not getting bad value on that. I'm not doing it. The value on the shortstop market right now is probably still a little inflated. 2 months from now, when the Rockies or the Angels or whoever else have fallen out of this thing, but they got a guy that you think, okay, now I can go get that guy. I don't have to pay a premium because it's in spring training. I think all of their decades of track record, I'm going with Friedman specifically, back to Tampa, they make moves. They don't just sit around and let things happen. And then you add in the checkbook that they have. They'll do something. They're not going to win 100 games this year, but they might win 90. And that's what's so crazy about it.
Well, two things that you just said. If the checkbook is available, but it doesn't mean – this is the one thing that I've always kind of been puzzled about with the Dodgers. You have the checkbook, but you're still responsible. Mm-hmm. Those two don't usually go together.
Not typically.
So Steve Cohen of the Mets – can have the checkbook and say, oh, screw it. I'm writing the check.
Padres.
Peter Seidler of the Padres. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's, I'm writing the checks. That's literally what he's been doing here for the last 2 years. The Dodgers, it's, well, it's not we're afraid to write the check, but we just want to write the check to the right person.
You know what it is? It's value. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to spend money on value. I'll spend $50 million on a home on the beach in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. Not spending $50 million on a home in Topeka. Mm-hmm. That's bad value. I'm not
getting. I have a better analogy. I could go to Nordstrom, but Nordstrom Rack has got some good value there.
No, not as good.
It's not
less
spring. You know I can't wear buying? It in the spring, but I can wear it in the winter.
They're not buying Xander Bogaerts. They're not doing that. Mm-hmm. They're not doing that deal. They'll do Mookie, proven MVP, ready to go. Freddie Freeman, proven MVP.
Even Freddie Freeman, it's not even a bad, it's 6 years. Yeah. So it's not even like, even the Freddie Freeman thing.
Value.
6 years, 104, whatever he ended up getting. I think what you said about the 100 or 90, kind of irrelevant, to be honest with you. I think for the Dodgers, whether you won 100, irrelevant maybe is too harsh of a word, but whether you won 100 games or you won 90, if you're the Los Angeles Dodgers, does it really matter those 10 games? Because you've won 100 before, you've won 105 before, you've won 111 before. Just kind of getting in, hopefully playing your best baseball at the right time might be more important.
I'll take that. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Fortunately, a little bad news to start the Dump. An incredibly popular actor who has appeared in and a million different things that we've all watched. If you're a John Wick fan, you probably know him from that. If you're a fan of The Wire, you certainly know him from that, from the series Bosch. The actor Lance Reddick passed away today at the age of 60 years old. He was Lieutenant Daniels from The Wire. I was asking you, Slee, if you'd watch John Wick. You and I have not seen the John Wick movies.
No.
But
The Wire.
He's really well known for the John Wick series. That really sucks.
Did it say, give any details? Or
It said natural
appears
causes.
Appears to be natural causes. Wow.
Only 60 years
I know.
Old.
That's why I asked. Just 60 years old, such a young age. Looks like he's in great shape, too. I mean,
He was. I mean, when he was in Bosch, there were a couple of scenes where he was shirtless. It's like, oh, my. I thought he was in his 30s. I had no idea that he was 60 years old.
It's unfortunate.
Very, very,
very
sad
unfortunate.
Moment. He was one of the – I mean, there's a million great characters in The Wire, but his, like, that hard-ass cop who's – mostly honest, but not 100% honest. He's willing to kind of do what
it
he
bends a little.
Do. Yeah.
It bends a little.
It bends to do the right thing usually. Usually. It was such a great character. Lance Reddick dead at 60. That really stinks. Hmm. NBA news. The Brooklyn Nets and Ben Simmons have mutually decided to part ways, according to ESPN. Simmons has been represented by Clutch since he came into the NBA as the number one pick in 2016. The agency negotiated his five-year, $177 million extension in 2019. And Ben, like, sometimes number one picks don't work out. That's not totally unusual. But this is a really unusual story that Ben Simmons' career path in this league went from number one pick, didn't play because he was hurt, to all-star, to really good player, to a guy that, by all appearances, doesn't want to play basketball. Hmm.
I'm looking at his draft class, just kind of curious, because I think when he first came out, remember, Lakers had the number two pick, and he went first, and it was everybody, Ben Simmons is just like, okay, yeah, this guy's going to be an unbelievable player.
Not everybody.
When?
When he was in college, coming out number one pick. When you never shoot and you can't win in college, mm-hmm. that's not great.
So
that's one of those, hey, are we that was a classic. I remember Ireland said it.
Yep.
Remember I said it. It's mm-hmm. like, guys, 200 teams get in the NCAA tournament. Ben Simmons would be number one pick. He couldn't get that team into the tournament. He never shoots the ball. Mm-hmm. We're sure about this?
So when he got in, and I think part of it is there's been some players in the NBA where they come in and initially it's like, okay, hey, give him 15 feet. Don't worry about him. But he still found ways to get to the basket. He still found ways to score. He was getting assists. He was getting rebounds. He was kind of, you know, magic-esque in the sense that I'm going to kind of fill up the box score. That was the idea. That was the concept. He's a point guard. He's 6'9", whatever size he is. I'm kind of shocked here of the last 2 years, that just kind of the trajectory of his career. Not that his development in the NBA, it's his will to want to play NBA basketball.
You know what else is a really, really bad sign with that dude? None of his teammates take up for him. Nobody.
Yeah.
Like, no, whether it's in Philly, whether it's in Brooklyn.
Kind of started in that playoff series where
everyone's kind of looking. Remember, Doc Rivers is a longtime NBA player, longtime NBA coach, and that he did what he did was a tell. And you, because there's angry and frustrated, and there's, I don't care if I blow this guy up. I don't give a damn. And Embiid did it. His Brooklyn teammates didn't.
Kind of since then.
It's been, well, he doesn't have the stomach for it, I guess.
Good he got that five-year, $177 million extension.
Apparently, I am not the only one that watched the World Baseball Classic. In the first round,
okay,
over 1 million people bought a ticket to go watch a World Baseball Classic game. 1,010,999 tickets sold. Pool B at the Tokyo Dome had 361,000 people in it. Miami had 295,000 people in it. Mexico versus USA, March 12th, Chase Field, drew nearly 50,000 people
in
that game.
Very cool.
It's had TV ratings that were Super Bowl level high in Japan. That this is just an unbelievably popular event among baseball people, and especially outside of this country. People that baseball playing countries, they can't get enough of this.
So important. It's so important that you have, we talk about how the NBA is such an international sport, and it's so great to see you got guys coming in from so many different countries that are representing the league today. That's huge for baseball's growth, right? Like, that is such a big deal. If they could now, I know these are already popular countries, Japan. We already know baseball is already popular there, but to grow the sport and you can try to grow it internationally, it's amazing.
Like in the Czech Republic where they strike
the
out
Czech.
Otani.
An electrician
out there.
What was the
word, Emily? What was the word for I'm done in Czech after the guy whiffed Otani? You got to look that one up for me again. Speaking of baseball, it was today in 2005. MLB players testified at a congressional hearing about PEDs that included Mark McGwire, who said, "I'm not here to talk about the past." And then Rafael Palmeiro looked right into the camera, waved his finger, and said,
"What'd he say?
I did never use steroids and performance-enhancing drugs." And I don't mean to spoil a surprise, but guess what Rafael Palmeiro tested positive for doing?
Probably PEDs.
There you go.
The word is a hudge.
A hudge.
A-H-O-J. So I don't know how to say it, but I think a hudge.
That's what I would have said in peace after Otani. It was a weird moment when baseball was, look, everybody knew Mark McGwire looked like a cartoon character. He looked like a superhero in a comic book. He had a 28-inch waist and a 50-inch shoulders and muscles bulging out of his face. Okay, it was not a mystery what was happening here. We all just kind of went, I think he's going to hit 70, and we loved every minute of it.
We loved every second of it.
Ready? Who cares, right? Like,
it was fun.
Who cares?
Entertainment.
And it was good entertainment.
Define who cares. Who cares as in he did that? Like, today you're
baseball
talking about?
Baseball writers
care. All of it. Like, baseball was kind of in a weird spot, and he made it awesome. Sammy Sosa made it awesome
for
a few years. Barry Bonds made it really awesome. We all knew. We pretended we didn't, but we did. And, what about Babe Ruth? Well, Babe Ruth didn't play against the best players of his generation. They weren't allowed in the damn league. He had to go play against nothing but white guys. the rules are always different. This is something that baseball knew was happening, the players knew was happening, the media knew was happening, and we just kind of all went along with it because it was great. I don't know why we have to pretend that it was some disaster that ruined baseball.
What you could say is, hey, look, that was an era of its own. They were all doing it in that era, and we got to a point where we decided that that's not okay anymore, and we moved on.
The American Kennel Club, Slee. Oh, my gosh, you got knocked off the top spot, Slee. The American Kennel Club determined that the Labrador is not the most popular American dog breed. It is now the French Bulldog.
Well, this is different because the retriever, Golden Retriever.
Isn't a Golden Retriever a type of lab?
Nope, it's not.
It's not?
Come on, Travis.
I don't know dogs.
So
I guess I'm wrong.
The ranking now is French Bulldog, Lab, Golden.
Golden's
as the
third.
Three.
Oh, yeah. So you're good.
Not
you
rookie.
Never, you were never in the top
three. Rookie's
spot
not
anyway.
Top three.
Are different types of retrievers. So there are many different types of retrievers. A Labrador Retriever and a Golden Retriever are different things.
All right.
Come on, Travis.
There you go. There's my
your dog.
My dog knowledge is lacking, apparently. That's that's one of those things. So
rookie's 38th.
Why do we like small dogs all of a sudden? I want a big dog. I want a dog that you can kind of toss around and have fun
do
with.
Do dog things with. To
the
go to the
French
park.
French Bulldogs always seem like they're about to suffocate.
They're
when
chilling.
They're just
have you guys
there.
Ever seen...
They're
so
chilling.
When we went to Catalina, if people take dogs on the ferry, you had to muzzle them. So have you ever seen a French Bulldog with a muzzle on it? It is
the size
funniest
of a coffee cup?
Photo ever because they don't have a snout.
No.
So you put it on and do you know... Have you watched Dark Knight Rises? So you know Bane?
Yeah, they look
like little Banes out there. So anybody listen, go look up a French Bulldog with a muzzle on. It's hilarious.
One of my buddies has a French Bulldog, right? And he's this big guy. He's, you know, in the weight room. He's buff and he's strong. He's kind of, you know, kind of an intimidating guy. And he's got this dog that you can fit in the palm of his hand. It's like just the most ridiculous looking thing I've ever seen. He's crazy about this thing.
I'm imaging French Bulldog with a muzzle.
Why? You would never get a little dog, would you? Rookie's a big dog.
Yeah, I'm a fan of. I think he weighs like around 60 pounds,
that's
something like that.
Big dog.
And actually, he's kind of small on the smaller side for a Golden Retriever. But I never had a small. Well, we had a Beagle, but that's probably the smallest we'll go.
She's the Man came out on
size.
This day in 2006. Emily, this was your sleepover movie?
Right. So I have this theory. Well, not really a theory, but for girls, there are certain movies in your era, whatever, that you always watch at sleepover. So for my era of like girlhood, like the middle school, high school area, it was Mamma Mia, the original with Amanda Seyfried and Meryl Streep. It was She's the Man. It was Pride and Prejudice. You know, yeah, Casino. It was all those like fun things that like they're not necessarily like they're not all rom-com-y movies. Most of them are rom-com movies, like 13 Going on 30. But it's
ooh,
more like
Jennifer Garner.
You and your friends bond over watching this movie. Then you watch it as an adult. You're like, still slaps. It's still a good movie, and I still bond over
did
it.
Did you have one that when your buddies would come over, did you do sleepovers as a kid?
Not really, to be honest.
Yeah, we would do them occasionally. Like it was
parents like, where are you going? Like,
it was always Parker's Caddyshack, house. Stripes, Trading Places, Animal House. Like it was always comedies and just and you know as a teenage boy or a, you know, a pre-teenage boy,
is this rated R?
You want something that's rated R. You want the language and you want a little bit of the skin, right?
Yeah.
Especially in the 80s when you couldn't just. Open up your phone.
Oh, yeah.
You had to work for it a little bit.
Yeah.
You had to go find it.
Oh, my God. Mamma Mia. I would just off myself. Good God.
Mamma Mia is a fantastic movie, Mace. How dare you?
I'm going to advocate for my teammate here.
Advocate for Mamma Mia?
No. I'm advocating for her because what happened to the Who's yesterday, she's still struggling. So just
still.
Take it easy. Let her have
some
Mace, are you an ABBA hater? So you hate ABBA? Yes?
I'm not an ABBA lover, I will say that.
How do you hate ABBA? ABBA's amazing.
ABBA's a good candy bar.
But here's the thing. Isn't Mamma Mia for old ladies? Like, my mom loved Mamma Mia.
Everybody loves Mamma Mia.
They're listening right now. Yeah, old ladies.
Young, old, every woman loves Mamma Mia.
Oh, so annoying.
Let's do a little super crosstalk. I'm looking at you closely,
yes.
And I'm looking if there's any remnants of Cool Whip anywhere in your
nose,
your hair.
You had left, right?
No, I saw the whole thing.
Oh, you saw the whole thing. Yeah, I totally surprised. I thought, okay, we're going to build up to this. We're going to say at 3 o'clock. We're going to all of a sudden just bam.
I don't know if you were listening. I was talking about because I didn't know it was coming, but I happened to be looking at you when it happened. And I love doing crosstalk with you because you always kind of – entertain the bit. You entertain the premise. You're willing to go along with all these things. Very rarely where I see you flat stone cold surprised.
Oh, I was just like stunned. Stunned.
And with that half a second where, because you had told me prior to Crosstalk that, hey, look, the Lakers lost. Bergman gets to hit me with a dessert.
Yes.
Like you knew that you were going to have to do it.
It was going to happen at some point.
No buildup.
There
no.
was that, in a fraction of a second, I saw the entire thing go, what the hell just happened? Why did... Oh, right. That's what it was. An entire range of emotion on your face in about a quarter of a second.
Yeah, see, I mean, the worst part was the surprise. I mean, like, I didn't know it was coming. It was just like, bang.
Did it feel, look like, and I had no idea it was happening either.
Yes.
I went to use a restroom. I came back. Still had no idea what was going on. Amanda's like, did you see that? I'm like, I didn't see anything. So she explained to me, see the video, see the, Berg looked like, he had some maybe he had a lot going on
pent
inside
up anger
that he was taking.
He was
on.
Pretty
it,
gleeful as he hit me in the face with
did
that
it
pie.
Feel like he had 5 years of oh I've been waiting to do this.
I think there is some pent up frustration there with Bergman. He takes so much crap on our show, and I deliver a fair amount of it, and I feel like he worked through some anger issues yesterday.
He couldn't wait till 3.
No,
like,
could
3
not.
O'clock.
Could not.
He could have done like a Rocky Road pie or a pecan pie.
Oh, it could have been really, worse,
like,
yeah.
That he just went with a big pan full
just
of whipped
big
cream.
Panful, which, by the way, looks better.
It does.
But the other would be like a pecan like, pie in the face
little,
is terrible.
Grit, a little abrasiveness.
Exactly, exactly.
A pecan pie would break your nose. If I did it hard enough?
Yeah.
That's thick.
You were angry. You were like waiting for a chance to do this.
I wouldn't call it angry. I just was like really excited to push something into your face like that. Just because it's
odd
just so funny.
That.
It was. I was trying to figure out the right way to say it.
It's very weird.
Might not
odd,
have been the best.
Very weird. Right? Yeah.
Try that again.
Yeah.
Just slam a pie into
hit
your face.
Hit him with a pie.
Yeah, hit him with a pie.
The good
oh, my God. South Carolina, 60-26.
Yeah, that's ladies' tournament.
Oh, that's the ladies' tournament.
Yes.
All
yes.
Right. South Carolina is like the great team in the
they're,
women's
I think
tournament.
Number one.
Right?
They're number one. Team. So that's your brother, Brian?
Yeah, that's Brian.
Okay, hi, Brian. How are you?
Hey.
Did you guys get out on the court?
We did.
And?
We went out Wednesday night. I've lowered my expectations.
Because of him or because of you?
Brian can really play.
Okay.
But I become the target on the court. So we played 3 matches. The first one, I think we lost 4-11.
Okay. Okay.
Then we split up. We went on opposite sides and each had a different partner. I lost 1-11.
Okay.
And then we really rallied on that third match when we started playing together again. We lost 6-11.
Okay, so you got here.
So, yeah.
Trending in the right direction.
Oh, these two ladies were tough.
I was going to say the people you were playing good.
Oh, yeah. They were very good players. Yeah. No, these women knew how to play.
How
no,
old
pickleball,
were these women?
Pickleball.
Let me ask it a different way. Would they like Mamma Mia?
A very nice lady wearing a bucket cap was part of the team that beat us.
Okay.
But she was
spry.
She was a monster. She was a monster.
Bro, there are ballers out there. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, a lot of these people that are out there, they've been playing for at least a year,
and
2 years.
And you know what? Age doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
I see older people just killing it
where
out
you
there.
Place the ball. Yep. They're calm, cool, and collected.
Can you dink? Make a mistake? Bam.
Well, yeah, but you at least it's at least a step of athleticism. You can't just stand there.
You have
to at least be able to move step in each direction.
You got to move. Yeah.
Is Brian as good as advertised?
Brian is very, very good.
Okay.
Yeah. Brian plays in like a league and all this kind of
thing. You're in a league.
He's actually really, he's hardcore. Hardcore.
Do you feel like if you guys win one game tomorrow, you're happy?
Victory.
Okay.
Victory! If we win 2... and Bergman and Jorge win 2.
Yep.
We have a heads-up match.
I would be shocked if any of the ESPN teams
win
2 matches.
Oh,
unless they somehow get a good draw and get another ESPN team in the second round.
A couple of them are
round.
Sneaky, like Kurt Sandoval with J.B. Long.
Okay. But again, I don't know if either one of those guys are like fully into it on a regular. You're playing against people that
who are
paid,
fully into it.
That paid money to enter
right.
mm-hmm. a pickleball tournament.
Despite his back injury... DeMarco and Kirk Morrison.
Yeah, I think I don't think you're putting enough stock into DeMarco's.
Is it really serious?
Any update? Have you talked to him this week?
I have not texted with him this week. I texted with him towards the end of last week, and he was banged up pretty good.
Mm. Well, if it was an Anthony Davis situation, he just wouldn't play.
Well, he'd play the first one, not the second one.
Exactly. Wouldn't play the second match.
If you advance to the third one, I'll play in that one.
Exactly.
But you're on your own for the second round of this whole thing.
So your alma mater lost?
Yeah, they got smoked. They had the lead at the half.
They were in the game.
They had a one-point lead, 36-35. I think they ended up losing by 20.
SC lost. Michigan State pulled away.
Yeah. The Gauchos made a bunch of threes in the first half, so they were kind of in it, but they got run over in the second half. But like you were talking about with the pickleball thing, the Gauchos getting to the tournament is a successful season. Had they won a game, it takes it to a nuclear level. But just getting in is a very, very good season.
Meanwhile, San Diego State won.
We're both still in it. Well, I mean, they're going to be
there. Bruins of everybody might look the best. Yeah, they might have had the best opening
round.
Ireland
is in the shortest chair I've ever seen. You are...
Michael must have been in this.
You're pretty low over there. I'm only seeing the top of your head.
It must have been
for Michael.
UCLA looked great. Of all the teams that could win the whole thing, they've looked the best so far.
Yeah, they've got to play Northwestern. Trudell and I are deciding whether or not we're going to do a bet.
Oh, right.
Trudell doesn't have a lot of confidence in his Northwestern Wildcats.
What if they seeded?
7th.
Okay.
They're either a 7 or a 10. Okay.
They were 7.
Okay, so, and they play UCLA 5:40 on Saturday night.
Okay.
I think UCLA's got enough to beat Northwestern. I'm in my bracket, which is blown to hell because I put Arizona in the Final Four.
Whoops.
I am going out to Gonzaga in the Sweet 16 because they don't have anybody that can guard Drew Timmy. UCLA doesn't have a lot of size.
So much of this, though, is momentum. And being hot and just kind of getting on a roll.
Yeah.
And looking at some of the other top seeds, Houston is missing one of their best players all of a sudden, potentially. You look at some of these other teams, they didn't look
great. Is that kid for Houston out for the tournament?
Not officially, but he may not be ready.
Of course, that's the team I picked to win it all. I may have the worst bracket in the history of ESPN.
Well, I had Xavier in the Final Four, and that thing came close. But I'll tell you what, after you come close, I always feel good. Normally, champions have one really tight
the Tyus
game,
looks, game.
Exactly, then they go.
The Missouri game where it looks like it can go either way. And it's a good test, and so maybe Xavier goes
so
on a run.
Yesterday is the Furman upset over Virginia.
Yeah,
right?
Virginia lost to Furman.
Yes.
UVA lost to Furman. UVA
by
out
the way,
of the tournament.
That player that made that pass is like their best player.
I know.
Their smartest player. I've never seen a pass that stupid.
Did he just not see the dude?
Just wait and let him foul you.
Well, here's the worst part. He had a timeout.
Ooh.
They were going to foul him, too.
But just let him foul you.
They were going to.
They're trapping, but they have to foul because of clock.
And if you're about to freak out, just call timeout.
Yeah.
Right.
I
felt so bad for UVA out of the tournament. Virginia gone, done, finished.
So San Diego State tomorrow has Furman.
Yeah, I know.
That's the second round matchup for San Diego
State. Aztecs on to the Sweet 16.
All right, so what time did you say UCLA?
5:40.
Okay, so this is a perfect example of it. If you're playing at 9:10 a.m., they're playing them at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning on a Saturday. Is that just there's absolutely no interest?
Well, that's noon back east.
It's noon back east.
It's Saturday.
It's the first game.
It's Saturday.
San Diego State Furman, and they're putting UCLA as they should, right? Like that's such a big program.
That's like a prime time game.
But I'm looking this morning because we got the tournament tomorrow. We're going to be out at.
You know who plays at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning?
Who's that?
Michigan, Ohio State. The football teams.
Oh,
it's not a bad spot.
Yeah,
you're making it out to be a thing.
As long as it's
not
a Saturday.
Yeah, 9
it's
a.m. Saturday. On a Saturday is a good spot.
It's a good spot.
Yeah.
It's not great here, but
it's great back east where everybody's watching.
Were you guys John Wick fans? Are you John Wick fans?
Oh, yeah. It's coming out March the 24th,
Lance
right?
Reddick?
Well, he was great in The Wire. He was. And by the way, he did a lot of TV commercials.
Wow.
Yeah.
60.
That were good.
60.
Yeah, he was a great actor. Then young too.
He was in that series on Amazon, Bosch, where he played the police chief.
Yeah.
He was terrific. And
wow,
yeah.
60 is way too young.
Yeah, because Al and I are both fans of The Wire. Neither of us have seen John Wick, so I don't know him from that. When it came up that John Wick star Lance Riddick died at 60 years old, I'm like, I just think of him.
I've seen
Lieutenant
all the John
Daniels.
Wicks, and I don't remember him being a major part of them.
I haven't seen him at all, so I don't know. But I just think of him as as the guy from The Wire.
That's
really, really young.
Yeah, really young.
That's a tough one.
Well, that's a nice note to go on. I just you leaving us on the death note? What's going on?
Let me see.
Does anyone from seven?
Who else died? I'm looking. Come up with a list of
Ben
people
Simmons'
died?
NBA career died.
Yeah, now, okay. By the way, you know who his agent is, right?
Clutch.
You know who has more players from Clutch than any team in the NBA,
Lakers.
Right?
Yeah.
There we go.
Really?
Keep an eye on it.
Really?
Keep an eye on it.
Does he want to play for the Lakers any more than he's wanted to play for his last two teams? Because he seems fairly disinterested.
I don't know, but I'm just saying Clutch, the team with the best relationship in the league with Clutch
is the
Lakers.
No how.
No. No. Look, I'm okay with a reclamation project if the project that wants to be reclaimed wants to play.
Yep.
He's given no indication that he's interested in playing in the NBA.
What happens to his money?
Aren't NBA contracts guaranteed?
Yeah, he'll still get his 5 years, $177 million.
So they're just going to give him like $110 million or whatever they own.
5 years, $177 million. If the deal was done 3 years ago, I want to say.
At least
half of it's been paid off.
Right.
The Lakers should run for the hills.
Just got another death in.
Who'd you get?
UVA, Virginia, dead.
You know,
dead. Dead of their own doing. It was suicide.
There's a line that it's funny, and then there's just mean. And I think you.
I appreciate it. It's really funny.
Yeah, good, Em.
Em, will you watch the rest of the tournament?
Not she yesterday. I will watch the past thing. Today, but I didn't watch
any
yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to be dancing on Slee's grave if Furman does the Aztecs tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Come on, State.
But the way you guys are talking, you may be out of the pickleball tournament by 9:30. So, you know,
damn.
You can watch second half, right? Yeah.
We're gonna be real.
I'd like
quick.
A late game.
Is it single elimination?
Longer.
The pickleball tournament?
Yes.
Oh, we'd be there for a month.
Single elimination, two games.
Two games.
So you're guaranteed two games, score, but yeah. If you lose them both, you're done.
Correct.
Yes.
It's a two game aggregate.
Yeah. So in other words, you only play two games, no matter what. It's an aggregate that,
okay.
that pushes.
And if
you
it
forward.
Starts at 10 a.m. by 10:14, we'll be like, okay. So what do we do now?
I don't think our total aggregate score of 6 is going to carry us
probably not
the second round along the way. Super Crosstalks powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you on Monday.